We want the good of life. And we complain if we don't get it. And God saw this here. It was happening in Israel. And God had something to tell them. He had something to show them. Some of those comforts are not necessarily wrong to have a good bed or maybe to have a good house. They're not necessarily wrong if we look at it right and if our attitude is right, if our spirit is right. But what is our focus? What is our priority in life? Is it just me and myself? Or is it broader than that? How quickly we do complain. So God was concerned about building his kingdom here in the Old Testament, and he's concerned about building his kingdom today, the church, the body of believers. And so I say this morning, whether you come from this local congregation or whether you come from Tennessee or from Colorado or from Africa or wherever you've come from, you have a church to build there. And you have a kingdom to be built there. And the body that you're a member of, that is where you need to build the kingdom of God. That's where you need to build his church. And that's what God wants for you. So God was trying to redirect their focus from themselves, from the selfishness of themselves, to a broader perspective and to put God in first place and give him the priority in their life. God created us for fellowship. God created us for his honor and for his worship and for his glory. And that is the greatest purpose of mankind, to give him glory and honor. And when we get to turn in on ourselves and focus on ourselves, we rob him of that glory. In this Old Testament example, God didn't leave them, or God didn't bless them materially because they were neglecting him, and they were neglecting their worship to him. They did not give him first place. And I don't believe in the prosperity doctrine that we sometimes hear of. If you do obey God, or if you worship him, and if you're a Christian, then he will just bless you, and he will heal you, and he will bless you with a new car, and et cetera, et cetera. He'll just answer your prayers. I don't believe in that. In the New Old Testament, it was more that way. God promised them material blessings if they would serve him and they would follow him. But in the New Testament, the kingdom is different. It's within the heart of man. And God has the kingdom focus has changed. It's within within our heart, within the church, within the body. This is his kingdom, and he does not promise us material prosperity and that we won't be persecuted and that the enemies will flee from us. He does not make that promise under the new covenant. However, we do believe in the godly principle that we cannot outgive God when we serve him faithfully, that he will bless us, however, spiritually and maybe sometimes materially too, but we cannot. That is not our focus. Our focus is to honor God and to glorify him. And this scripture in Haggai chapter 1, we want to look at three aspects here of God or of what he wants for us. And one is to consider our ways, and we're going to read this scripture shortly. And then number two, we want to look at verse 8, where he says, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house." And then also in verse 8, "And I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, saith the Lord." So number one is consider your ways. And number two, go and get wood and build a house and he will then, number three, take pleasure in it. I would like to read this scripture at this time, Haggai chapter 1 and beginning at verse 2. He says here, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. He says this the second time. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it can't come to little. And when he brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and he run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from the dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. We'll stop reading there. God called for a drought and for a famine because they had focused, come to the place where they focused on themselves rather upon God and his dwelling place, and the place of worship. They had let that rest. We see then that it did inspire the people, going on to verse 12, that Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, they rose up and they went to work. They decided to move ahead with building the house. So they did respond to his message. This morning my title is, Let's Build the House. That house being the church of the living God. This is God's house, the church where you're from, the church where you're a member of. Let's build the house. Let's build that house, the church where I'm a part of. Let's build it. Let's build the kingdom of God in this our day. Because it has laid waste long enough. It laid waste here in the Old Testament time in this their experience for 16 years because of discouragement, because of the pressure from society, of those about them. It laid waste. It just laid there, or wasn't, they didn't move ahead. And God is calling us, let's build the house. Let's build the house. That we might rise up and build it. That's what I want to challenge us this morning in. So, as you look at this scripture, we notice that twice he said, Consider your ways. In verse 5, or 4. Wait, verse 5. And then verse 7 again. Let's consider your ways. And this morning I'd like for us to do that. Each one. And we don't look at each other this morning. We want to look at ourselves. I want to look at me and ourselves, that we consider our ways. What am I doing in this church, in the kingdom where I'm a part of, in the church that I am called to? You know, some people draw out more energy from the church than they give. And others give more than they take. And I'd like for us to think about that this morning, to consider our ways. What am I in this church, in this body? Am I giving more than I take? Or am I bleeding from the body? Am I draining the lifeblood out of the body? What am I doing? What is my relationship in the church? Do I inspire? Do I bless? Do I encourage others by my life? Do they enjoy being around me? Is the aroma that comes from my life a blessing? And that people just enjoy being in my presence. And they enjoy our company, am I draining the lifeblood out of God's people, or am I blessing them? Consider your ways. God said, consider your ways. And it just really impressed me as I consider this thought, just to think about myself. Consider my ways. What am I doing? What is my life in the body? How does it affect people? Just stop and meditate about your life. And I just really like to challenge you, each one of us, to do that. As I did that, it's a blessing to think about, what am I really doing in the body? Consider your ways. And again, I say, let's not think about others, but about myself. What is my life in the body? Consider my ways. Am I a grumbler? Do I make it hard for others? Am I a scorner? Is the aroma coming from my body, from my life, from my speech, that which is demoralizing and which draws others down? Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck down with their hands. A wise woman or a wise man buildeth his house. And so that is the title this morning. Let's build the house. Consider my ways and let's build the house. What am I doing? Let's not pluck it down with our hands or with our mouth or with our life, but let's build it. Let's, every wise woman buildeth her house. And the saying behind me here, you see the effect of a wise woman, a wise mother, a wise father. It builds the house, and we don't pluck it down with our hands, with our life. So it doesn't matter where you're from this morning. It doesn't matter where your local church is. When you go home, that is the house that you want to build, and you want to build the house wherever you go. You want your life to affect righteousness in others, wherever you are. An example in the scriptures, we might turn to it if you want, but is in 3 John, of those who built the house. 3 John, we have two different diverse examples here in this scripture. Third John and verse 1, we see Gaius, who was a builder. He was rising and building the house. He says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. So here was a man that was building the house. He was effective in the church. He was encouraging others. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And then we see in verse 12, verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. Yeah, he had a record. He had understanding. And he know that our record is true. This Demetrius was building the house. He was a blessing. And it was a joy in the church. But in Gaius, he said, he rejoiced greatly to hear that my children walk in truth. But then we had in verse 9, we have one that was the opposite. Just the opposite. Just, is this the type of person we want to be? Verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. But Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So we have the two extremes here. Gaius, thankfully, the good outweighed twice the bad here. But we had Gaius and we have Demetrius, who were a blessing of the church. They were building the house. But then there's often those that tear it down. They take more than they give. They destroy, they bleed away the life of the congregation. Let's consider our ways. Let's consider our ways. Where am I in this picture? Where am I? What am I doing? Am I building the house? So the kingdom of God is built by people, by his children. We can hinder this building by our gossip. And if we think of this building as a physical structure, you know, if we have this physical structure here, this house, and we think of all the material that's in this building, and we think of somebody being a window, and maybe several being windows, and several being lights, and some being fans that help bring comfort and blessing, and some being pews to sit on. And if we would start, if an individual begins to gossip and begins to tear down, maybe he takes out a window disappears, and we have a hole there. And because somebody is gossiping and tearing down the body, we have somebody that's sowing discord, and the lights start to come down and they go away because somebody is sowing discord and destroying the unity and the blessing of this building that we enjoy. And we have somebody that has lack of commitment, and they don't support the body, and the fans come down, the comfort goes away, and the building starts to be destroyed because of a lack of commitment. We have somebody that has lack of obedience to the Word of God, and they don't think this is important, or don't think that is important anymore, or to the church, maybe to its standards even, and they're violating them, and there's a pew that disappears. What happened? Souls are, it destroys the building. This beautiful structure starts to fall apart. And there's disrespect of leaders. And maybe the studying disappears and the sheetrock falls off because disrespect and dishonor. And we have an ugly structure. But he says, consider your ways. What am I doing in this structure, in this building, this spiritual building? And we compare it to the physical building. When we compare it to the physical building and see how the body is destroyed through our carnality and our selfishness, God says, consider your ways. We have a critical spirit, and the doors disappear. And it looks like a hollow building, looks like a deserted building. And that's the way some churches are today, because individuals are not considering their ways. And the church is destroyed. The spiritual structure looks hollow, looks destroyed, and is falling apart. Or there's sin in someone's life. Sin in the heart, sin in the life, bitterness, anger, immorality. There's sin in the church, and it's not dealt with. And some more pews go out or disappear. These individuals, the structure, and finally, it's almost an empty auditorium, no place to sit. A critical spirit, sin in the life, pride. Oh, it destroys the church. Pride is a terrible sin. It's a subtle sin. And we can cover it up sometimes with a false humility, and it is so destructive. Because it is not filled. Pride is selfishness. And it wants our own glory. And we want to lift ourselves up. And we want to protect ourselves. And we hide ourselves. We're proud. We're not willing to confess sin. We're not willing to humble ourselves and be broken. And it destroys a body. It separates, it divides, and it destroys the church. And this physical structure, as we described and shared, we can see how it destroys. And we know that these things are taking place in church Christianity and churches today. It's all over. There's so much destruction taking place because of these sins, the sins of pride, of immorality, of pride and a critical spirit, disrespect for leaders and elders. It destroys the church. The Bible says, consider your ways. Consider my ways. What am I doing in this body, in this structure, in this church of God, in this kingdom today? My second point, let's go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 17 through 19 there, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Brother already referred to this scripture. Thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church, the living organism of God, hell's gates cannot prevail against it. If we rise up and build this temple, we remember that in Nehemiah's time, when they were building this temple, that the enemy came, and the gates of hell prevailed against them in building and following through with this structure for 16 years. And so it stayed there, it laid there until God, through Haggai, inspired the people to rise up and build again. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And so when Zerubbabel and Josedek, the high priest, the high priest, they rose up to build this temple, that they were able to carry it through. The gates of hell could not prevail against it. Why? Because God was with them, and God is with us. So as we consider our ways, we can rise up and build this house. This scripture, where he in Haggai, where we were, where he says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house. I want to make this practical also this morning, as we think of building this house. And now we know in the New Testament, Timothy, he says that wood, hay, and stubble, it shall be burned. And he speaks about having gold and silver as treasures or as spiritual. He makes the comparison between that and quality materials that will endure. But this morning, in this lesson, in the Old Testament, the wood is a type of building material. And so it is, we're not comparing it to gold and silver in that respect. But in the lesson that we use wood to build the house, to build God's kingdom. And so we're thinking about building material to build the house this morning, the church of the living God. May we be a part of this structure. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 22, or 20 through 22, here he says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And I believe this is talking about the local church, maybe broader than that, but it is also, I think, specific to the local church. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. He said in the Old Testament, go to the mountain and bring wood and build this house. And we want to think of that as, again, as a spiritual application. I have made promises to this church, or the church I'm a part of. I have made commitments to the church that I'm a part of. I have made promises. I have committed myself to use my influence to build this kingdom. Or before God and these witnesses, I have promised through baptism to be faithful to God and to his church or to his people until death. God wants us to be follow through with that commitment. And that is what he was calling Old Testament Israel to, I believe. To follow through with their commitment. To follow through with their promises. To rise up and build this house. And to go out to the mountain and bring wood to build this house. Again, in this house, there are many timbers, much wood, there's trusses, or there's rafters, there's studding, there's windows, there's doors, and there's jams. There's headers, and there's plates, and there's nails, and there's screws. There's sheetrock, there's flooring, there's trim. There's siding, there's brick, and there's mortar. There's plumbing, there's wiring, there's outlets, and there's switches. And the list goes on and on that goes into a physical building. We could go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 31 there. He speaks of many different gifts in the body. There's the eyes and there's the hands. There's the feet. And it all makes a body, a physical body, a human body. They're all the parts that God has given us, our hands, our fingers, our toes, our feet, our legs and arms. God has given it all. We are all part of that structure. We're all some part of this body, physically as we think of it, and or a building, as we have referred to. We are all a part of that if we are faithful in the church. But he said, let's go to the mountain and bring wood. We need to build this body. We need to build this church. I'd like to look at some practical elements, some practical aspects of building this church, the church that I'm a part of. First of all, there needs to be love. If there is not love, if we cannot go to the mountain and bring the wood, the love that it needs to build this body, we might as well go home. And we know that sometimes love is misused and abused, and it is used to cover and overlook sin and not to deal with sin and just sort of let things go because we just all love and, you know, we all care. And that's not really love. That's not genuine love. Love will deal with sin. And love will exercise compassion. Love will reach out to those who are hurting. Love is caring. And love is like it works like a hospital where we reach out to those in need. And we deal with those that the leaders need to deal with those who are transgressing. That's also love. 1 Corinthians 13, if we don't have love, we might as well go home. It's all put on, and it's all artificial. Number two, we need humility. Matthew 5, verse 3, he says that the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's the poor in spirit. It's those that are humble and broken and think less of themselves. They will receive. Let's go to the mountains and bring wood. Let's bring this love. Let's bring humility into my life. Let's be a humble person so that we can build this house through love and humility. Let's bring forgiveness. Go to the mountain and bring this gift of forgiveness to through yourself and through others, that we can teach each other to forgive and to let go of things that we've been holding on to. You know, God does allow us to change when we repent. When we repent, he allows us to change. Sometimes people will hardly allow others to change. They will hardly give room for forgiveness. And they don't allow them to change. We must be willing to forgive. Even if it's hard to do. It's just the way it is. Jesus forgave us so much, and we need to forgive others. We need to go to the mountain and bring this wood of forgiveness. to the church. Commitment to the church, willing to sacrifice, willing to contribute, willing to participate. If we don't participate and give of ourselves and sacrifice and contribute, then this structure cannot be built. The church cannot be built if we do not participate and give ourselves. In our standards, we have something about the thought of participating in missions and supporting the church and giving ourselves to the body. Oh, this is so important. To be there, to go to the mountain and bring wood and bring this gift of commitment and build this structure and that the body can be built, the church can be built, the temple can be built in our time. There needs to be that proper respect of authority for authority in the church to bring this gift to the church, this blessing. And as we consider the first point, consider our ways. What am I doing in blessing the body in respect for authority and respect for your leaders and being ahead? In other words, you know, sometimes we wonder, is this acceptable or not? Or is this practical or not? And so you think that, if the preachers don't say anything, that you are, that must be okay. And so you do this particular thing, just and you give time to see if the preachers will say anything. I'll tell you what, if you do that, you are taking wood out of the building. You are bleeding the church. You are not building the kingdom when you do that with that spirit or attitude. But you will build the kingdom when you respect your leaders, that you go to them and say, how is this? I wonder about this. And we had a little question about this. And we were just wondering what you would say. And we're not challenging. We just want to know your input. And please tell us clearly your heart. And then you will build the church. And you will be bringing wood. And you'll be respecting your leaders. And you will not be a weight. That's a weight to the body. And to tear it down. But you will be building it up. I think that's so important. Treat your leaders as you would want your children to treat you. And to bless you. And that will build the kingdom. That will build the body. That will be going to the mountain and bringing wood to build the structure of Jesus Christ. Be patient and long-suffering. The Bible says that long-suffering or that love will cover a multitude of sins. And I don't think he's talking about immorality and those kinds of things. He's talking about our mistakes and our failures and where we just our oversights, where we're not as gracious as we should have been, and we sort of offend somebody, and our love will overlook that because of somebody's discourteous act, and they didn't mean to be discourteous, but it sort of graded us wrong. But our love will overlook and overcome a multitude of sins. Patient and long-suffering. It's bringing wood. It's bringing wood to build the house, that we can build the house and go on and grow together. To deal with sin is building the house. If we are open about our life, if we don't hide anything, that is building the house. That is going to the mountain and bringing wood and building this house. The Old Testament says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear me. If we regard iniquity in our heart, we are tearing down. We're taking away wood. We're taking away from the structure. We're destroying it. But if we cleanse and live, are open and are free and have taken care of sin, it will build a house. It's like going to the mountain and bringing wood. And we are have taken care of those things, because sin in our life, hidden sin, is demoralizing. And sometimes we don't understand and know what that all is. Maybe there's something wrong, but we don't know what it is, and we don't quite understand it. The rest of the church may not quite understand it, but we're working with this person, and we work with them, and we work with them. We don't know, but there's something hidden that is in the way, and it tears down the house. It tears down the house. Let's go to the mountain and bring wood. Let's cleanse our hearts. Because when we have hidden sin or something in our life, it will destroy. It will tear down this house and God's building. And we will take away more than we give. And we will bleed more life from the church than we can give back. Let's live a pure life. Let's live a holy life, a sanctified life. So how can I build and bring wood? How can you do it personally? Well, I've tried to give you many points. How you can build it: by your love, by your humility, by your forgiveness, by your commitment to the body, by your respect for authority, by your patience and long-suffering, by your dealing with sin and living a pure life. You will build the house. You will go to the mountain and bring wood to build this house. What wood can you bring? What consider your ways? I need to consider my ways as I thought about this message. What am I doing to build this house of which I'm a part of and which God has called me to? You know, there are many catalogs catalogs of fruit that we could go to, like in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 20 through 23, where he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against that. And in Colossians 3, verse 12 through 17, he mentions many fruits, but then he says that love is the bond, or charity is the bond of perfectness. We look at the other virtues there. It's impossible to be humble, really, unless you have love. Unless you have these other virtues, unless you have the virtue of love and charity, these other virtues will just all fall apart, like long-suffering, patience, and gentleness, and goodness. They'll all just all fall apart. But charity is the bond of perfectness. It's, as I understand, the bond there has the thought of cement. Love, charity will cement all those other virtues together, those fruits, and make those possible. So charity is so important. And so these are some of... we could turn to these scriptures. I don't think we will, but James 3, verse 17 through 18, also he speaks about heavenly wisdom, which is these spiritual virtues and fruit through come forth from possession of that heavenly wisdom. I like to think of now further of some further practical things about building this house. And I think of young people just to come in and sit forward, you know, to sit up is building the house. Instead of sitting on the back bench, way out there, you know, where I can quickly escape. I think of youth just giving themselves and coming up front and sitting up and giving attention and paying attention to what is being said. That's building the house. That's a practical thing. That's something you can do. And being interested and sharing and coming forth. Being responsive and obedient as you... we already mentioned this, in the church, in the body, that we all be responsive and obedient just as we want our children to be obedient to us, just as we want them to apply themselves and to cheerfully obey, you know, without question. That's the way we should be in the church, in the body. You put yourselves in your leader's shoes, And you think about your children and how you want them to respond, and then you know how the leaders feel if you don't respond. And if they have to come after you, just put yourself in your children's, or think about your children, and then you know how your leaders feel. And their leaders have accountability. Read James chapter 2, verse 1, or is it 3, verse 3, verse 1. He says, be not many masters, for it says, it gives the thought that they shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, you're responsible as parents to your children for the way you bring them up. But the leaders are responsible also because they have an accountability. And there is a, if they aren't faithful in executing their, or fulfilling their accountability, he says, it's also, there's condemnation and that responsibility. So when you build a house, if you want to build a house, consider your ways this morning. Consider where I am in building this structure. What kind of person am I? Am I dragging or am I building? Am I, have I gone to the mountain and brought wood to build this house? And as I said, young people just sitting forward and being attentive is building the house. It's something you can do, something you can do right now. We need to agree to the honored, or to, we need to honor the agreed to the agreed standards. We need to honor the our leaders in this and respect them. We need to stand by our commitment. We need to participate. We need to send a card to somebody, encourage somebody. Is building the house, is going to the mountain and bringing wood to build the house as we encourage someone. We need to stand by our school teacher. Oh, we need to stand by our school board. Oh, but they didn't do it right. You know, the teacher shouldn't have treated my child that way. No, that's not building the house. We need to go to the mountain and bring wood and build the house and stand by our teachers and our school board and support them. And so that our child, though we may think he wasn't as bad as they thought he was, that we may close the fence around the situation, that the child has no place to go except to obey. Except to obey. That sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? That's the way it needs to be. That's the way it works the best. If we build the house and bring wood and do our part as parents, and we stand together with the teachers and the school board, then the child has no place to go but the right way. And finally, he has to grow up and make his own decisions. But in their childhood, they have no place to go except right to obey. So the parent does the opposite. And he doesn't consider his ways. And he thinks the child is emotionally affected and that they need to somehow protect his emotions and that he is going to be warped. And so they make a hole in the fence and out goes the child. And he'll go that way. He'll go out that hole. And you've lost it. You've lost it. You're not building the house. You're destroying the house when you do that. We got to stand together, build the house, bring wood, and build this house. Stand together as with your school board and your teachers and bless them in it. Let them know you support them and respect them. And if there is actually a teacher that needs help, then you can appeal to another level, but in the right way, in the right spirit, so that the house can be truly built. Encourage your leaders. Be another way to build a house is to be evangelistic. Have a ready testimony. Have a ready word to share with others. Be an evangelist. Oh, you say, I'm a woman. You can be an evangelist. Your life, your testimony, your expression, your cheer, the cards you send, the words of encouragement, the blessing you give, the aroma that comes from your life, is building the house, is going to the mountain and bringing wood to build this structure. Stay current with your devotional life, your prayer life, your walk with God. It is so important. This is so important. Can't overemphasize it. Hardly ever. And working with people and working in church life as a leader, that you work with a church problem, almost always a person that has a problem, that has difficulty in church life, he's failed in his devotional life. It just almost always is that way. They fail. If you fail in your devotional life, you'll be a problem in the church. This is the way it works. It's almost 100%. I don't know if there's any exceptions. But you fail in your devotional life, you'll be a problem in the church. You'll be tearing away. You'll be destroying the church. You're taking wood out of the house. You're not bringing it in. Current with your devotional life. So important to build the house. You are bringing wood to build the kingdom. The last point, the Lord will be glorified. In Haggai 1 verse 8, he says, "Go to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord, and I will be glorified." So, if we build this house, if we can build the kingdom of God here, a church, the living structure where we are a part, and we build that house, God is glorified. And God will take pleasure in it. We could go to John 17 and 21 through 23 there. The purpose of maybe we should turn to that scripture, John 17. I'd like to read that quickly. John 17, verse 21. This is the high priestly prayer, Jesus praying. He says, "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." And read this quickly, but if we go back and look at these verses, verse 21, we see that they may be one as the church is one, as the church works together in harmony, as there is a faithful body and unity, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It will point people, a faithful body, a faithful building will point people to Jesus Christ. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so we're building this body, this structure where we are, where I'm at home, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay. Then verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Again, unity, harmony, building this body. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. So, as I look at this scripture, I see as I am faithful in considering my ways, and as I am faithful in building this body where I'm at, where my home is, where my church is, it will show to the world who Jesus is. And that is what this Old Testament scripture to me is, that this is the new translation to the New Testament of what the Old Testament scripture meant. He says, "I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified if you build this building and go to the mountain and bring wood and build this building." So what am I doing today to build this building? What kind of wood am I bringing? What kind of building material am I bringing to build this kingdom today, that God may be glorified, and he will take pleasure in it? And let's go to Psalms 48, verse 12 through 14. I think this is a prophetic Old Testament scripture, again, of the church. And Psalms 48, verse 12, he says, "Walk about Zion, and go round about her, tell the towers I think this is talking about the church, the beautiful structure of the body of faithful believers pulling together and building the kingdom, bringing wood to build this structure. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So walk about it. Look and behold the glory of God's kingdom, where people work together and pull together. Just some further thoughts on building material that glorifies God. Building material that we can bring that glorifies God. We already mentioned being evangelists. Let's go to Matthew 5:16 here, just in closing. I have a number of scriptures to look up. Matthew 5:16. Being evangelists, building material that glorifies God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorifying God because our faithfulness, we're evangelists, we're shining lights, we're bringing wood to build this temple, to build this kingdom. It glorifies God. It says so clearly. John 15, verse 8. Another way to build this structure that glorifies God. And I will be glorified, and he'll take pleasure in it. John 15, 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And we've talked about this quite a bit this morning, about different things that we can bring, fruit that we can bear. But in it, God is glorified. God takes pleasure in his people bearing much fruit. And he says, I will take pleasure in it. As you bring wood for this structure, your fruit will glorify him. Romans 15, verse 6. And all these things are basically summaries of the things we've talked about. Romans 15, verse 6, he says, that ye may with one mind and one heart and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the unity of the body, the faithfulness of the church, that with one mouth and one mind, we may speak these things, and it will glorify God, the unity of the faithful. And we know that when the church is torn apart and is in disarray within, it does not glorify God. It does not. It stinks to the community. It has a bad odor. And it doesn't bring him much glory, does it? It doesn't bring him any glory. And it turns people away. But when we, with one mouth and one mind, stand together, it glorifies God. What kind of wood can we bring this morning? What kind of wood will I go home and bring to build this structure, building material to build this structure, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God? Unity. Unity glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits. Through our bodies, through our life, through the things that we do, through the example that we leave, we must glorify God. We must glorify God. For ye are bought with a price. We are bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. Through that purchase, we can glorify God through our bodies. Again, in conclusion, what kind of building material or wood am I bringing? Am I bringing pride and rebellion or lust or deceit, etc.? Or am I bringing submission and humility, a holy life, an obedient life? Am I bringing this kind of wood to the church? What is my attitude? What is my desire? What is my heart? Again, coming back to the first question, or the first statement, consider your ways. Consider my ways. I need to consider my ways. What is my life doing? Just to think about it. What is my life doing in the body? Consider. Let's consider our ways, my attitude. Am I bringing wood that builds the house? What kind of wood do you want to bring? What kind of structure do you want to build? Shall we kneel to pray?